do what we do. In Jerusalem, a man got saved, and he started fellowshipping with Muslims, that former Muslims that got saved. And they asked him, they said, did Jesus appear to you, or how did you get saved? How did you learn about the Lord? And he said, well, I forgot the man's name. He was a Rhema student, and he rented one of the apartments that he had. And he used to call that Rhema student and his wife and family the happy people, because they were always happy. He said, well, the happy people taught me about Jesus, and that's how he got saved. But the others, Jesus appeared to them. There are people that they were born, you know, Pastor Jim talked about the wrong side of the tracks. They were born on the wrong side of the tracks, and they got saved, and they went all in, all right? And then there are people born in a Christian home, went to a good church, had good teaching. I saw a guy on YouTube, he got into New Age stuff because of Ancient Aliens on TV, watching that History Channel program. But he didn't know the Lord for himself, so he got persuaded. But he got corrected, you know. There are people that are born in a Christian home and go out there in the world and become worldly, go to jail even. But there are people who have no chance, and they are surrounded by darkness, and they come out of it. That's what he's talking about. Whosoever abides in him sins not. How can you abide in the Lord, go in his presence, love his word, receive it, and then go out of sin? That can't happen. You have fortification against it, and it's not in your will. The enemy spends a lot of hours trying to tempt people back into the world system. And he can't win because we don't want it. We don't want what he's selling. Jeremiah 23, I've been studying this all week. I listened to it all day again and again. Because I heard things that's so relevant for our time. And I'm going to try to, it's a long chapter. Look at the first part. Jeremiah said, woe, this is verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again into their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. These are the people that would not turn no matter what happened. That God has people that will follow him no matter what happens around them. No matter who backslides, no matter what happens, they will not turn. That's what John is writing about. Whosoever is born of God cannot sin. They can't be deceived.
Then a Christian in a Muslim country is a death sentence.
Yeah, but they live anyway. The Lord told me back in the early 90s, 92, 91 or 2, he said the day is coming where 1,000 people would get saved per hour. Now, he didn't tell me where. I knew that it would be in places like Iran and Iraq, places like that. I just kind of knew that part. I didn't even ask him where, because I just kind of, and when he said that, I knew where. It's happening. Miracles are happening in Africa, places like that, places where the gospel has been dry. He said, and here, but also there. And then to make it, I was watching one of the rapture videos on YouTube. A man went to heaven and he saw prayers coming up from all over the earth. He saw some prayers coming up from the States, from America, and other countries, but most of them were coming up from the Middle East. Iran and Iraq, thousands of prayers going up to heaven. He saw it from heaven. I wish I had captured that one. I want to see it again. But
you said it was on YouTube.
It was on YouTube. Some people talk about the rapture dreams and rapture visions. It was an unknown guy. You know, I don't even know his name. But miracles are happening among unknown people. Perry Stone said, I knew this a long time ago, that this revival you might not see is not going to be like others. It won't be. We're used to the charismatic movement, the churches coming together. Now it's different. People, they love God from the heart, and they're doing what God say, and it's causing revival. People are being saved. You might see it in churches, but I know that it's in remote places, rural. Perry Stone said rural America. God is going to call people out of the city. Now, this was about 5 or 6 years ago. He was going to call them out of the cities to places like West Virginia, and they were going to get saved, families. And he said it's happening. And, you know, I remember when he first prophesied. And then these are the kind of things the Lord have taught me in my heart. And not to mention the things he told me how my ministry works. I can't see my ministry. I can't see the results. But it's on the radio. I can't see that. It's on the website. I can't see that either. But it's there. And the Lord, according to the Lord, millions of people are being blessed by works just like this, like mine and others. You're part of it because you're going, what you say, even your comments go over the world. And the Lord chose the website, newlivingletters.com. The first website was livingletterministries.com. It's still active too. But this one don't have ministries in it. God chose it. I was out to worship one day. Church was over, and we were getting ready to walk off the platform, and the Lord spoke to me, newlivingletters.com. All right, that'll get in Red China. They won't block it. There's no ministries attached to it. Mm-hmm. It'll get where God wants it to be. And it'll get in communist Russia. The Lord, you can't the Pastor Jim said, think big. That was he's a prophet. He's a prophet, and he prophesies, and he says he's a pastor first, but I believe he's a prophet operating as a pastor. When I first came, I said, Lord, I said, what is he? He said, he's a prophet. And then I know he pastors, and I he can do that, but he's a prophet. His prophecies bless what I'm doing. From when I first did the website, he prophesied it. Then the Lord gave me three choices, just like he said, and I took the one that would win the most souls. And then he said, think big. So I don't think Birmingham. I think global. Pastor Brother Horton, before I did this website, years before I did it, Brother Horton, right in his room, said, He taught on the parable Jesus' parable of the rich young ruler. He said, you give Jesus everything you got. You put it in his hands and he'll bless it and give it back to you. He was ministry. I saw a lot in that moment. That was one of the most I received from that teaching so much at one time. I saw volumes of things in the spirit. And that's how the website part came about. I said, Lord, I put this in your hands. Use it like a tool.
Like the fishes, the loaves and fishes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
All of those people.
It's still on the it's on the first audio page and the second audio page on the web. You can go. I let my sister listen to it. It was April the 12th, I think it was 2015 when he did it, all right? But at the top, I put classic. And just push on, hit click on that link and it'll download it to your phone. And you can hear it again for you. That blessed me. Just push it on the website, it's called classic.
Classic.
It's at the top.
C-L-A-S-S, I said classic.
Mm-hmm. And God was that he was through that anointing. I was blessed. I saw what God could do if you put something in his hands. But nevertheless, when God wants people to be like him. All right, back to Jeremiah. The pastors would not follow God. They continually did it that way, just like in Isaiah's day. Jeremiah was the next generation from Isaiah. He was, I forgot the years. I don't know if it was 100 years, but he was like the next generation of prophets. Isaiah had gone on to be with the Lord by then. And then, the Lord said in verse 4, he said, I will set up shepherds over them that will feed them. I go back to verse 3. He said, I will gather out the remnant out of my flock, out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again unto their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. They're going to be growing in the things of God. This is you and me. The Lord has given us good pastors, good prophets. All the ones, even the ones, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, people that help us know the Lord. They fulfill that prophecy. The Lord said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now this is Jesus. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And that's what he did. Two people were looking for him beside the apostles. Simeon, the old man, and I think her name was Anna in the temple. She had been a widow. I hope I got her name right. She was married, and then her husband passed, but she stayed in the temple praying for the Messiah to come. And Simon, he found out that Jesus was born. He said, I can go on and die now. And the Lord said, no, your work's not done. Remember, the high priest, the Sanhedrin council, the Pharisees and the Sadducees should have been looking for Jesus. This is something the Lord taught me about proud people. They will not repent. They will not humble themselves. The only time a proud person will humble themselves is to get more pride. They won't humble themselves to God. Anybody can be humble, but who are you humble to? If Jesus would have came like the devil, they would have accepted him. Just like they're going to accept the false prophet and the beast. But he came as God. He came as the heart of God. And he came to his own. They didn't receive it. They wanted him dead.
They wanted a warrior king, but all of their scriptures they've studied since
they also
2 years old said that's not what he was going to be.
Well, they were full of pride, and they wanted a king that's full of pride. And the world's the same way. That's why he bound them in bundles to be burned. God wouldn't just bound people in bundles to be burned. They did something. They hated the truth. They tried to get the prophets to preach smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Yeah, they twist the word. It's bad. If you try to tell people, I was listening to Sid Roth interview somebody that they were talking about the false grace. And this guy he reached out to the pastors that's teaching false grace, and they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't listen to him. They were just like the people in Isaiah. And I listened to him because those people, they're in their mind, they're in high positions. They won't listen to somebody like me and you. They cut him. He's a well-known minister in that circle, but he reached out to him because he's writing a book about this. He said, why can't you change that opinion? You know what Jesus said. Well, we don't do that. What about what Jesus said in Revelation? And they said Revelation is a book that destroys good doctrine. With some of the false grace. It's on Sid Roth. You can look it up. I didn't quote him verbatim, but that's what he was saying. He said Revelation it confuses good doctrine.
You know what? Brother Monty said something that really helped me with Revelation. It's a different dispensation we're in now. you know, they got the Old Testament, and then we've got the New Testament. Then the dispensation mm-hmm. is different. God handles people different in Revelation than he does with the grace message. So.
Actually, the things that Isaiah was teaching, the things of Revelation are merited. People sowed a lot of bad seeds for that to happen. It doesn't have to happen. The things of Revelation don't have to happen. If people would repent, every time people get saved, they change the dynamics of it. Because you got a new influence. You're helping people miss out on it. But the hard-hearted, it's going to happen. Because of Isaiah 30 and 10. The people didn't want the truth. They wanted the lies still. And I saw how hard their hearts have gotten against the truth of God's word. They preach smooth. You know, I don't know, he didn't name them, but when you listen to ministers and you read the word, what are they not teaching? What are they leaving out? What are they teaching sideways?
Obedience, one thing.
They don't teach that. They don't teach the love of God. They don't teach forgiveness. They teach you can live like you want to live and still go to heaven.
Church, and they said, "Now, we'll have the Holy Spirit stuff." He said, "Well, he's not allowed. I ain't got nothing to say."
That's funny.
He was just that's the way he talked. He said, "I ain't got nothing to say." Well, and they told him, "Bring that blood stuff in. That offends people." He said, "Well, who's it gonna offend? The devil?" Yeah. He said, "He's gonna."
This is happening.
So they told him, "We don't want that Holy Spirit."
I'm gonna close with this. Think about it this way. The people are doing this from the heart, and God has to respond. Because people like that will do damage. People that are unbalanced and don't know, they'll kill them. I mean, they'll make them twice the child of hell, just like the Pharisee. Jesus told his own disciples, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisee. All right, dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Help us to go forward in you. I thank you for the pure word that you bless us with. Help us to go forward strong in you, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Yeah. Stir it in like the eggs and sugar.
Yeah.
Can't tell the difference once it's all stirred in.
The glorious church ain't an accident. It's not an accident.